Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. We have a full house down here in the Bills' famous cheese spread studios tonight. Got a special guest that's going to be coming on here in a little bit.
Might be why it's so warm down here. It's usually cold in this basement, but like it's kind of warm right now.
Well, it helps.
All this body heat down here.
It also helps.
A lot of men down here.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, clearly.
Bunch of damn lumberjacks sitting around, boys.
Lumberjack. When you
look at this, if they would put us in a photo lineup, I do think lumberjack would be the first thing that come to everybody's mind.
That's yeah. Tuna's new cologne.
So we will get
sexual.
We will get to our special guest here shortly. You will be familiar with him if you are a regular listener to this show. Behind me, finally back. Finally, I think feeling up to snuff is the man that keeps track of our time, keeps track of our picks, looks up any pertinent information we might need help with. He is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We call him Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar is a man who, according to breaking news from Sham Sharinia, the Blockout Sports Pod is taking trade requests for the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. How you feel about that, Fred? Do you have a no trade clause in your contract? Can you break that news?
I am a little bit overweight right now.
That seems to be the hot ticket.
But I got but as our guest knows, I'm a lefty and I got a mean crossover.
Sitting in with us tonight is a special guest. You have heard him on this program multiple times. We have him on whenever we want to talk about some NBA. We have not approached much of the NBA yet this season because, quite frankly, we have been pretty taken up with football and college basketball. But we wanted to give this guy a chance to come on not only and talk about the big, huge stories that are going on in the association right now, and talk about the league and some teams to be looking out for. But we also wanted to give him a chance, since we haven't done it since last year, to expound upon his team's latest World Championship. We call him Ike. He is Eric Eichenberger. Ike, welcome to the program. It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me, fellas.
You know how long I just thought, like, for as long as I've known you, I thought your name was just Ike. And then when they were calling you Eric, I was like, what in the hell? Who is that?
Yeah. I did the same thing when he put his number in my phone last year or whatever. I was like, oh, that's why they call him Ike. I didn't know.
He's in my phone as Karaoke Ike.
he used to send videos of him
just singing, and I was like, "That's awesome! that's Karaoke Ike."
That is a very apropos.
I got you in my phone as Cody.
Cody JC.
Because when I first met you, it was about the you know more underground country music. Cody was first coming on.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, it is great to have you here tonight, Ike, and we will be getting to the NBA here directly. Before we get started, always want to remind people, if you enjoy the show, if you like the show, please tell a friend. Let them know that they can find it wherever they find their favorite podcasts, and we are on social media at all the regular places. You can just look us up. of course, the major sports story of the week, and one that we're definitely going to get really in-depth with, is, of course, tonight's game between Indiana and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured we would spend at least a half hour breaking down those. Of course, I'm being facetious. That game starts at 9 o'clock. I doubt I will even turn it on, to be perfectly honest with you. We do have Kentucky playing Ole Miss right now. We've got Vanderbilt playing Florida, which could be a decent ball game. Louisville plays, I believe, tomorrow night, coming off their first loss in a long time.
And we had a magical, probably our best ever Black Cat from last week.
Oh, dude.
Every team that we went down in college basketball.
Yeah, except Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech held on. But by one point, yeah, that was a great game.
But we black-catted Houston.
Boy, you talk about the wheels falling off Iowa State.
Oh, my God.
That's an unrecognizable team right now.
We did. We went through the teams that we kind of liked and thought were tough, and they all flopped.
Every one of them was just like, Auburn is still hanging tough. Yeah. We mentioned Auburn, but everybody's mentioned Auburn.
Right.
So that's,
I mean, we do have a very special and unique ability as a collective down here to completely ruin the mojo of any and all teams
that we feel good about.
Because every time like you go around, you're like, Freddie, talk about Kentucky, or Jody, talk about Kentucky, and it's like, Tuna, mention the Cards and be like, I don't want to get into it right now. We'll get into it a little bit later in the season. And I'm like, I'm just trying to ride that 10-game winning streak. Yeah. It didn't matter. We lost two.
Right.
Yeah.
But, no, of course, this coming Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. And the big matchup that everyone is looking forward to has Tuna's beloved Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we talked last week about some different family and friends connections that we have with Eagles fans as well. But now that the big week is here, all the hoopla has started in earnest. I know that we kid around with Tuna, but I don't really think that he's joking when I say on our text thread the other day that it's probably at this point just becoming old hat. And, you know, is this just another game?
No, I'm totally being facetious, man. It gets better and better every time. Honestly, guys, like going to the Super Bowl or your team playing in the Super Bowl is so freaking fun. I feel like your all's team should try doing it every now and then.
Oh, okay.
Like, really, y'all need to experience this because this is so much fun.
Today is the 18th anniversary of the Colts winning the Super Bowl.
That sentence says enough in itself.
And the Titans are number one in something this year.
The draft.
We got the first round.
And the Bengals are trying to hold their team together. So we need to try to keep our boy T.
But no, seriously, man, every one of them gets cooler and cooler. And like the idea of a three-peat, like young Tuna watching the Chiefs like barely scrape by, just trying to get into the playoffs. If you was to ever tell me that one day we would draft this kid out of Texas Tech and we'd win three Super Bowls in a row or have a shot to three-peat. Like, I'm not sure my brain could wrap around that. I grew up, my dad was like a diehard Bengals fan, you know, all my life. And I'm like, I remember the 88 Super Bowl and all that. And I'm sitting there watched him just be miserable his entire life and like rooting for the Bengals. And I question if I would have followed suit with my dad, like I did with Louisville and became a Bengals fan at a young age, would I even like football? Where would my life have taken?
Well, I need to clarify something. Yeah. A stereotype that does happen.
Uh-huh.
The Bengals went to the playoffs three times in the 70s, and only four teams went, and that's when it was the Raiders, the Dolphins, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So we had some fun offenses. The 80s, we were right there too.
Yeah.
It all started with that 90s game against Bo Jackson The 90s were terrible.
The 90s was a big brunt of my childhood. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to take up for the 70s and
80s.
You say he was miserable. No, I'm thinking probably pretty fun.
He swore by Kenny Anderson.
I love Kenny.
Chris Collinsworth was
his
favorite player.
He should be
in
the Hall of Fame, dude. There's no reason. He was the MVP. I mean, so.
Well,
Got old James Brooks back in the day when we had got
my
him
favorite
for
Bengal.
A little while. Yes, number 21.
But
I was getting ready to say, I thought this was the Kansas City and Philadelphia show.
Well, when you got two knuckleheads in the room, like you can deal with one knucklehead Bengal fan, but when you put two knucklehead Bengal fans together.
Yeah, but you were taking jabs about how miserable it was. I like being a Bengal fan.
I'm saying, in the 90s, I watched as it was.
Just hold on, folks. The 20 minutes of Alabama football is coming
up.
He's
also a little scared of us, Ike, because we are a thorn in his side.
I've admitted
sometimes.
Numerous times there's one team in the NFL that scares the hell out of me, and it is the Cincinnati Bengals. Because, I mean, I've watched Joe Burrow beat us in an AFC championship game in Arrowhead Stadium before.
Right. If we played y'all 7-on-7 flag, we get you.
Y'all get anybody. Yeah.
Damn
shame there's a salary cap. anyway, I'm not going to take shots at Bengals. But, yeah, no, every time it gets better and better. This team, when you go back to the 2020 Super Bowl, when the Chiefs won their first one, that team, that offense was just super explosive. You know, he had 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards that year. And then we got back there again in 2022, and it was not that good of a team. It looked like such a lesser team, and they managed to pull it off. Last year's team was even worse.
Last year was a big pull.
And they were able to pull that one off against the San Francisco 49ers,
right,
who I think was an historically good football team.
Right.
And I don't know how they did it, but they pulled it off. And I'm looking at this game, and Philadelphia, and I think we've said this a couple weeks in a row, where like they're better than you at every position, and the talent is just there for them. I don't know. Like, I feel like the Chiefs are a better team, but they are way more talented, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure, absolutely.
I go down the checklist of what players you would trade off of them, and, like, I'm thinking there's, like, maybe four Chiefs out of the starting 22 that I would rather have than any of the Eagles starting 22.
Having said that, just quick little weird question. Do you think if your team was coached by Marty Schottenheimer, you would beat Philly?
Marty, let's not. I'm not here for Marty Schottenheimer slander. Marty was my guy. Marty was my guy.
I always pulled for
like,
dog.
I was a Marty guy. Elvis Gerbach, even, man, I love that dude. But like, yeah, we go back to Marty with Steve Bono out there and Rich Gannon.
I was being serious because I was a big Marty guy too.
Well, Marty's style of football is a little bit
it's
a little antiquated right now. So I don't think that would last. Andy is what makes this team. I mean, honestly.
Him and your defensive coordinator.
Well, yeah, Spags is Spags wasn't there for the 2020 Super Bowl, but we also would just outscore everybody.
Because like, he doesn't really play defense. He honestly doesn't have the talent that Philadelphia does on the defense.
No, he finds guys that he wants, and they're always in the right spot.
Exactly.
And I'll be honest with you, when these guys leave Kansas City to go get a big payday elsewhere, they fall off. You know, L'Jarius Sneed,
right,
our top cornerback last year, goes to the Titans. What did he do this year, Jody?
What?
L'Jarius Sneed.
Not very well.
Not good.
Honey Badger.
It's happened numerous times. D Ford. I mean, we could go down the list. So Spags is the guy that gets this together. But Andy, man, I think he spent a big chunk of his career, especially when he was in Philly, and this is why he got fired in Philly, for blowing close games. They always made fun of him. The two-minute warning, you know, Andy's going to screw it up. Give Andy the ball with 2 minutes left, he's going to botch it. Well, damn, he's a seasoned vet now, man, because nobody does it better than him inside 2 minutes.
Yeah, his whole thing was always like clock management.
Everybody killed him
for clock management.
Yep.
Now he doesn't even sweat over there.
That's funny because I had completely forgotten that. But that was like the pervasive thing about him. Yeah, he can get you. He can be competitive all the way down to the end, and then he's going to screw up dealing with the clock.
And his first few years at Kansas City, he did the same thing. So it wasn't all, you know, peaches and cream down there.
But y'all believed in him, dog.
Well, yeah. I mean, what were we coming off of before him? who is the guy that was up there at Pittsburgh? God, I forget his name. We're always wore the dirty hat, and he was always fighting players. But anyway,
I remember him. I forget what
and
his
then,
name.
Let's not forget the Romeo Crennel years. Good God, man, those were terrible. Hell, I mean, yeah. But Andy, I was sitting down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, at Archibald Woodrow's restaurant on the way back from the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, drink
when the news came through that Andy Reid, the Chiefs hired Andy Reid.
That was a great hire.
I mean,
ecstatic. But I think it was a great hire then.
Like, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Philadelphia fired him. Like, they were always in the playoffs, year in and year out. Like,
and I think he thinks when he left Philly, he got relieved of a lot of pressure. There's just pressure in Philly.
That's a tough place to coach, man.
In all sports.
Yeah.
But to go to Kansas City, which is a smaller market, and especially then, and to know that he wasn't going to have all that pressure, and he was still going to have fans that are diehard dedicated in a tight little unit there, I think that pumped him up, and you know what I'm saying?
I mean, let's look at, like, Donovan McNabb was drafted, the entire crowd booed him, and then, what was it, like, just... Nick Sirianni was just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're
he starts
all
out
him.
The season 2-2, and they were calling for his head.
Yeah,
and they're to this day, they're still not convinced that he's a good coach. And I agree with them, but still, like they
yeah,
still like
I
every
think he's kind of a puppet.
Like you're
up
constantly
there.
On the hot seat as a coach up there, and in all sports, I assume. I guess unless you were Villanova, because Jay Wright, any pro sport, I guess you're on the hot seat up there.
They got like 7 colleges for basketball too.
Yeah, so I guess that takes the heat off a little bit. I don't know, man, but the fact is we are getting a rematch that happened 2 years ago, and the one big thumb that sticks out that's different in this is Saquon Barkley. He wasn't there last time, and it's a completely different offense now, and we've said it down here. I said it the day after the last year's Super Bowl, or 2 years ago Super Bowl, was that Jalen Hurts should have got the MVP in that game, even though they lost.
Right.
And we was asking if that ever happened before, and you know, we found out it did. But
I knew it right off the
top
you did. Of my head.
Who was it?
Chuck Howley.
Yes.
Defensive player for the Cowboys in Super Bowl, whichever one they lost to Baltimore Colts.
Was that when Don Meredith was quarterback? Or?
I believe it would have been, yes. But, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So I don't know. Like
don't you think that's the ultimate matchup? Really,
I really
of everything
do.
Is Barkley versus your defensive coordinator.
Here's my thing.
Game plan.
You can't commit to stopping the run against Philly because they can burn you on the pass game. They've got 2 really good receivers, and I've mentioned before,
and a tight end.
Kansas City's the worst team in the league against tight ends, I guess. Buffalo just forgot that. But anyway, but Calcaterra and Goddard are both really, you know, capable tight ends for them. One, I'll mention it right now while we're bringing it up. Devontae Smith, every time he's went against Spags, he's gotten over 100 yards, except once.
Really?
Which it was 99 yards. So just a quick prop bet on
him
is you're actually getting plus 135 right now.
Damn,
for over 60 yards. Receiving from him.
And listeners, take note on that.
That's probably
take
my
note
favorite
on that.
Bet.
And McDuffie's going to be on A.J. Brown, right?
Yeah. So it's going to be schemed up. I'm curious to see how we approach this because I really have no idea. Because Philly can honestly beat you in all aspects of the game. And their defense, like the Chiefs' offensive line, this is duct taped together right now.
Right.
I mean, it's not good. The Houston Texans, they were just all through our offensive line, all game. This is a real deal defensive front we're facing in Philly. This is probably the best defense we've faced.
Yeah.
Maybe all season. I don't know. Like,
their offensive line has needed to get healthy too. So,
yeah, that's another thing. Their offensive line's kind of banged up. I know those guys are tough as hell, and they're going to get out there and play. Was it Lane Johnson and what's the other guy that's out?
Center. Both are centers. The backup center was hurt, too.
I mean, those dudes are out there limping around. One guy decides he can't walk no more, and the other guy goes in, and then they're working on him, and then when the other guy can't walk anymore, they bring the other guy back in. It's like it's a rotating door of, like, injuries.
And but, if they're still on the five, they're doing the tush-push, and then somehow it works no matter who's in there.
Yeah, that's another way. When you look at this game, because this is different, look at all the fourth and shorts that we had Buffalo in. And they're out there trying to do their version of it, which was basically just a quarterback sneak. And the Chiefs were able to stop them so many times.
They were.
And we're not going to be able to do that against Philly.
Right.
And, like, the thing is, when you have Barkley and those tight ends, your first and second down, it's so crucial to keep those less than 5 yards.
You have to.
I mean, if not, they look at almost everything as a fourth down play. Or everything starts out at first and nine, I should say.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could almost even say first and eight at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They're just on paper, and hell, even on film 90% of the time, they look like the perfect team. I think their one flaw is their head coach. I really believe that. If anybody can find a way to screw it up, it's going to be him. And I just feel like they're clicking right now on all cylinders.
But I also, and I think you would agree, I mean, I'm sure you would, I think that even if Philadelphia plays close to as good as they can play, they can still absolutely lose this game just because who the quarterback is on the other side.
Yeah.
Like, I have said it. Since we started this podcast, I will continue to say it until I am proven wrong. I will not bet against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I just always think that they are going to find a way to win.
The more I've watched Patrick's amazing. I'm not ever going to take anything away from that dude. He's just incredible to watch. But I feel like it's just Andy Reid and him are the perfect marriage. And like, I got in a discussion with a guy at work the other day. I'm kind of curious what your all's thoughts are. So say the Bills never traded that 10th pick away and they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And then the following year, the Chiefs drafted Josh Allen. Who's winning more? Is it, you know what I mean?
Kansas City.
Because I
was going to bring it up and I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but yeah. I think Patrick Mahomes, what he's done is incredible.
That's what we
it's
do
awesome.
Is
it's going
feathers.
Down in history, but he's not one of the top three quarterbacks in the league right now. This year, appointment, he is not. There's three quarterbacks that are not way ahead, but quite a bit ahead of him.
Right.
If I was picking for, like Ike said, a 7-on-7 game, yeah, there's a few quarterbacks I'm taking over. The one thing you're getting with him, though, is that you know he's going to make the plays when he needs to make them.
True.
Big time.
So, but I'm with you. I think that if the roles were reversed, I think the Chiefs are still the Chiefs with Josh Allen. I really kind of believe that.
And I think it goes back to Andy Reid.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Plus Mahomes having to play in them elements more and everything up there. That changes it.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know how that would have.
Spags is a big difference maker, man. He really showed me something in that last game.
That guy is probably one of the best defensive play callers in the NFL. And like I said, he gets the guys that fit his system. Like, you've got a couple superstars on this defense. Like, what would you say? Chris Jones?
Well, Chris Jones, but every time I've watched him the last two games, the other D linemen in there make huge plays. Other guys, and I can't even remember their names.
A lot of it is because Chris Jones requires so much attention.
True.
The way he plays is what, like, accelerates everybody else. And George Karloftis coming into his own these past 2 years. I know Travis loves the former Purdue guy. Him coming into his own, where you can now line Chris Jones up wherever he wants on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karloftis can kind of swing around outside of that. It's just
it's like they feed
the
off
versatility
each other.
On that defensive line is what's.
And I feel like they get the team fired up. That defensive line unit. I always watch them in the last two games versus the Texans and the Bills. They're the ones that are so crazy emotional that are just going to a different gear. And then everyone on the sideline, like Mahomes, like, all right, it's time to go. Like, it's like all right, they all feed off of it. You know what I'm saying?
And these three linebackers, like, nobody, I bet you, you know, tons of people couldn't even name one of them.
I was just going to ask you who they were.
Well, you know Nick Bolton.
Okay, Bolton,
Nick Bolton's the king of the defense.
But, yeah.
And then you got Leo Chenal and Drew Tranquil.
Okay.
Okay, like two journeyman veterans that have just excelled under Spagnuolo.
I was going to say, those are like classic
yeah.
those guys yes. in the NFL.
AKA,
exactly right.
The tranquilizer.
Yeah. And they've had incredible years, and it's because Spags has a way of putting guys in positions to where they need to be. And look, there's something, you know, in that Eagles Commanders game, when was it Latu? Kept jumping over the line trying yeah. to time yeah. up that.
The, oh, yeah. The tush play. We forgot to talk about that, but yeah. that was insane. And, a little run of events there.
Let's not forget, the Chiefs have a little guy that likes to jump around like that, and that's Drew Tranquil. He's blocked several kicks by timing it out. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that happen a couple times, like in this game, if they're down there on the one getting ready to do a tush push. And he comes flying over like him.
And
That was interesting because I did not know this was a thing. I'm curious if you guys did that when the official
just award him the touchdown.
Yeah, the official yeah. said because I was watching it with Fred and I just kept saying, "Do it again,
yeah,
do it again." You might get look. Just now, it's a 3-inch penalty. Then yeah. it's a 2-inch penalty. I was like, just keep doing it. Maybe you'll get lucky and. yeah. Hit him and he'll fumble the ball, but then the referee said, "If they do it again, we can just say okay, yeah. it's a touchdown."
Well, I mean, it makes sense that rule's in there because if not, it would just last
it
forever.
It last forever, yeah. right?
So
I also think McDuffie, the matchup with him and AJ Brown, he could maybe frustrate him a little bit, or the other way around.
I don't know. McDuffie's been so solid.
He has. I know.
And one thing I want to see. DeAndre Hopkins, man. Like
he's been quiet.
Where you been, Bubba? Like one catch in the playoffs? We've got to get you in. I'm almost curious if like
who's
if
gonna
Andy
be the
Reed's
guy?
Been like holding back some plays with him.
Or someone else, yes. Because you know it's coming. What who's he remember that time when I had the fantasy yeah. and all the money on Kelsey, and I'm yeah. like, who the hell are these other two guys?
Yeah.
And who are
what do you got? That, Juju Smith-Schuster?
No, the other tight.
Noah
Gray. Yeah. And isn't there a second one?
Yeah, he's
– or the third one.
Jody Fortson, he's out.
Oh, so he's out. Yeah. Okay, so Noah Gray can come in year. And make a couple big plays.
Yeah, no, they used Noah Gray. Look, hand up. Every week this season, I've put – $10 on a Noah Gray first touchdown of the game.
Remember first week of the season? My text, yeah. I was like, I like Gray. Yeah. You're like, he's up and coming.
Yeah.
I'm wondering
and,
if Pacheco
but it's
comes
paid off
in
twice
and
this
does
year.
A
Both
couple
of them
things.
Hit huge. So I'm going to keep that.
Don't you think he's been holding Pacheco back a little bit? He's got to be
I
healthy.
Think,
no,
I no. think Kareem Hunt has got that.
So he's
because
okay.
you don't have to worry about turning the ball over.
Right.
Pop's been so loose with the ball lately. Like since okay. he got back from the injury, his arm he's been holding that thing up a lot more.
Okay.
Like he used to really pack in.
Oh man, he could take hits like you wouldn't
like,
believe.
I think it's like a mental thing that they're trying to snap him out of.
Okay.
And that Kareem Hunt's just been solid and steady. But you still gotta feed Pop every now and then because he's a home run hit. Like yeah. he's a guy that could break it out. So
Kareem Hunt's got a little bit of that Marshawn Lynch in him, that
yeah.
put your shoulders down and bust through some
people. And there's nobody out here that wants a Super Bowl more than Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
I mean, I honestly yep. believe that. Like, he'll do whatever he'll bite somebody's face off to
right.
get this one.
So. And real quick, speaking of Noah Gray, I had asked Colin earlier, and I'm going to get to his other picks at the end of the show when we all do it, but he did add an addendum to his picks and said he loves – Noah Gray as an anytime touchdown scorer in this game.
Yeah, let's throw as we're getting towards the end of this, let's throw some props in there.
Well, and I was going to ask you guys if you had anything. First of all, you know, like that you're dead set on betting, but then I was going to ask if there was maybe something a little off the radar,
right,
or something that maybe not other people would be thinking about that you guys like. Because as we know, you can bet on everything in the Super Bowl. And so I was kind of curious if you guys had looked at any of that stuff as of yet.
Yeah, just a little bit of prop stuff. You know, I would always have the it's like a long-running tradition just to bet on the coin toss just because you can.
Yep.
It's the only time that you can.
Yep.
And everybody keeps saying Tails never fails. Well, I mean, I think this year Tails is going to fail. I'm unloading on heads. To kick that one off.
I want
to
know what unloading on heads means.
I don't even think they let you bet more than like 20 bucks.
I was going to say, it's a...
I think it's like a $100 max bet.
Yeah, though. It's like, a...
They can't...
It's not a lot.
Yeah, they won't let anybody do that.
It's and, like, the length of the national anthem, don't they do that one too?
Yeah, all that stuff is there's like a max limit bet on it. The Gatorade colors, all that stuff. No, definitely going heads. I kind of like... the half and half in this game, with the Eagles winning the first half and the Chiefs winning the second half, the full game.
What if we all put $10 up and each pick a prop?
Yeah, that's fine. My favorite prop I like mentioned earlier is Devontae Smith over 60 for plus money. And you can do the, over 52 and a half for minus, you know, 111, but I think he easily gets the 60 for the plus money. There's a ton of stuff on here, man. So
I like the Kelsey touchdown where you're getting juice on that, you know.
Noah Gray's definitely getting it.
Noah Gray's definitely, but Kelsey's unless I made my bet, my props earlier, but Kelsey is, you're getting money on.
No, it's plus 140, which I still, that's kind of tough odds. He's going to draw a lot of attention. They actually have better linebackers than we've faced.
What's Noah Gray getting on anytime?
Noah Gray is plus 475. He's plus 3,000 for the first touchdown. So $10 bet pays $300.
I also got Jalen Hurts over to 1.5 TD passes plus 180, which I like that bet.
DeAndre Hopkins plus 500 anytime touchdowns.
There score. You go. Mm. Yeah, that's a real
because
good one.
Here's the thing, like DeAndre Hopkins, he has lost the ability to separate. He cannot separate in open field like that, like he used to.
But he can still catch the shit out of the ball.
Best jump ball getters out there. So, you know, a touchdown there in the end zone for a D-hop could be something to look at. Especially at plus 500, man. Those are – I thought it would be a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, I would almost do something like that as opposed to the Kelsey plus 140. You know what? Because that's – I know Kelsey's only had 3 touchdowns this year.
Man. I know.
You know
I
what
know.
I'm saying? It's,
I know.
He's put up good numbers, like 97 receptions for, I think, like 890 yards. Or
one
whatever.
Would have to think that a Kelsey touchdown is in the script that the NFL has sent out so that they can get the reaction
It's the big
shot.
Show, baby. Well, we're going to get
the reaction
one.
Shot.
One thing that the Chiefs have been known to do is do the tush push with Kelsey in at quarterback.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
They kind of ran that play for him at Cincinnati. That was his first touchdown ever.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's something that you could look for. So, anytime touchdown like that could happen.
Is there one for him to get a rushing touchdown? I wonder.
Dude, I'm sure it is. You could spend, honestly.
That's what I'd be curious. No, we don't have to look it up
16 straight
now.
Hours
yeah,
going
yeah,
through
yeah,
every
yeah,
prop
yeah,
bet
yeah, we don't have to
available.
Look that up now. But I am curious about that. And if any of our listeners want to look that up and keep that kind of tucked away, what Tuna just said about him possibly coming in and giving Philly a taste of their own medicine, but actually playing quarterback on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
I'm surprised we don't see it like more with guys like Baltimore doing it with Derrick Henry. Like, why wouldn't you ever do a tush push with him? Why do you have to put
The Titans used to do it, line him up at quarterback and snap it to him and let him run it in.
Well, that's different than a tush push.
Well, I know, but yeah. I'd use Derrick Henry more that way, period.
Yeah, the thing, like, they're nobody wants to put their quarterback in that situation because you have, like, you know, 600 pounds of beef behind you.
Four
and you're just sandwiching
smashing
that quarterback
into each other, right?
Like, Jalen Hurts is squatting 600 pounds, so you can do that with a guy like that. But, like, I don't want Mahomes ever in there doing that. I wouldn't want Lamar Jackson in there doing that. Like,
right.
But give me Carson Steele down there. Give me, you know, Travis Kelce. Give me, you know, tons of guys on that team where you can do that exact same formation that can make that happen. And we just don't really see a lot of it.
Yep. I mean, Chris Jones has big hands. Can they put him in there in offense and, you know, relay the number in? And could you stop that? Think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. maybe. I'd just be so worried about him getting a snap. I'd be so scared of that.
Right.
Like, just watching him down there like that. Like, you know, I just feel like – I know his hands are huge, but, like, I feel like he would just jump before the ball even got to his hands.
Didn't they,
like,
used to hike at the fridge, or did they hand it off to him?
They handed it off to him. Or a couple times, I think at least once, it was a pass from – they pitched it to Walter – and then Walter threw the touchdown pass to the fridge. I'm almost positive that happened at least once. But definitely not done talking about betting the Super Bowl, or we're going to give all of our official predictions on the game here a little bit later on in the show. But as I look around the room and I see Kentucky inexplicably is down by 23 going into the halftime. And then on the other television down here in the pub, we've got Ike's Boston Celtics against a team with the best record in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a good segue to introduce looking resplendent in his, I would say, 60s era Boston Celtics satin white with the clover leaf on the front.
Is that white or cream?
it's a very sharp looking jacket. And Ike, we want to officially welcome you to the show. And before we get into this season, I just want some quick reflections on the playoffs last year, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since they were over.
Well, thanks for having me, fellas. yeah, last year was pretty magical. I mean, I can bring people down with my negative Celtic stuff sometimes because I'm so paranoid and stuff. And it took me all the way to about game 3 or 4 to realize we really got something special. And it really started with game one of Porzingis being healthy, that game one. That set the tone for the championship. Mm. And if you remember, he was hurt the next couple games and really kind of came back and did a – I don't want to overuse Willis Reed, but he didn't really do a ho-ho lot, but his presence
right.
meant so much. It was a magical season. Somebody that doesn't get enough credit is our head coach. You know, it's so easy to say, well, we got all that kind of talent, you know, it's easy to win a championship. Oh, really? Is that how it works? Because I don't think it does.
No.
I see great coaches losing in the second round all the time.
Right.
So, and he seems weird in press conferences. He's almost like he's on the spectrum or something. And at first, I don't think everybody totally thought he should have got the job that was on the team. But when it all came down to it, He got the job done. And what else can I say for guys like Holiday? I mean, but
defensive master.
And going into this season, I know we're going to talk about the trade stuff, so I'll just say this real fast. A lot of times, if you're going to compete for a championship again, or even if you're not, every team has to make a move. You know, like the second year Mark Aguirre came to the Pistons.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's big moves. Sometimes it's like we brought Dwight Howard in with Steve Nash. You know.
Right.
But you got to make a move. We really didn't make a move. Our bench just got better. You know, our bench just got better.
Right.
So
Derek White.
Oh, yeah. So, and you know how much I love Pritchard.
Right. Oh, man.
Cornette, you know, I
think the average person or fan doesn't understand the Celtics bench, but
oh yeah,
they're huge.
And honestly, it'd be easy for a guy to love his team or whatever. Like I said, I could be the paranoid guy and stuff, but I'm really taking in these last couple of years because I know we got something special.
Right.
And I do think Cleveland has more raw talent, like Tuna was talking about, in football and stuff. But I think in the playoffs, I ain't scared of nobody.
Right. Do you think that – now, obviously, Tatum and Brown are – they obviously know how to work with each other better than anyone ever thought they could. Do you see them staying together? And I know that's – it's kind of a future thing because you're just like, I'm just worried about this year. But – they seem to get along and work well, you know, with each other on the court.
As most of you all know, I'm more of a Brown guy than Tatum guy. But you know what? The way Tatum showed me, it's because he kind of does that crybaby stuff. Sometimes, hey, you found me, you know, where Brown just plays ball, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And that's why I was happy when Brown got them two MVPs of the Eastern Conference Championship, you know. Having said all that, though, Tatum showed up this year with new moves and a new focus. He gets that ball high the way Nowitzki did. So when he goes to shoot his three, he might miss it, but you ain't going to block it.
Right, right.
You know, so.
And he came in maybe with a little chip on his shoulder, even though some of that USA stuff was kind of, you know, blown out of maybe. But he still came in ready to go. I mean, he looks strong.
His interviews are still boring to me, but you know what? I got over that, man.
Yeah.
That's just, he's a nice guy, you know? I mean, so.
What about Grandpa? Didn't he have like five or six threes in one of the finals games last year? Horford?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even bring up that.
21st years? I mean, I remember when he won at Florida.
Well, they came 2009 was their last championship. I think they won in 8-9 or 7-8.
7-8.
Yeah. So, I love that guy.
Still a long time. I know he's over 40.
And if you're going to be a big guy and you want to make it in the league, like for longevity and stuff, well, first of all, the analytics, you got to get up down the court and check people. Yeah. But secondly, if you develop a respectable 3-point shot, there's 15 minutes for you or something and everything if you play your cards right. If you don't,
Yeah, and you can end up playing in a league for however many years he's been there for.
And it's different. What people don't understand is when I say analytics, I hate using that word, but the way the game's played now, it ain't like the old days when we were growing up. I love Larry Bird, but they grabbed each other's jerseys a lot and everything. They'd be all kind of on their pill and hung over, but they might be smarter and shoot better, but they weren't getting up and down the court the way this modern game is. So.
Right, no.
And so that goes a long way. I love Larry Bird, by the way. I wasn't trying to make a jab. But
what pills were they on?
Huh?
What pills were they on?
Pain pills, dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, they were still doing that stuff, man, you know.
Drinking four Budweisers when they get back to the locker room.
I didn't know if they was popping mini thins or something. Well,
that was more baseball.
No, I got you. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have rules on back-to-backs. Dude, all the way into the 80s and stuff, a lot of times you play on Saturday and Sunday, you know, 2 weeks, you know. So collective bargaining, the new contracts, you know, they got away from that a whole lot.
For the record, Horford's first year was 2007 in the NBA.
2007, 2008, so yeah. So they won in 6
and 7. 18, 19
That's
years.
Amazing.
He's 42 years old.
Amazing. And he looks so smooth and still looks so dang young.
His wife's got it going on, too. You seen her, ain't you?
No.
She's on one of them housewives shows.
Hell, even his dad looks young, old Tito.
Tito. I remember seeing him in our books.
Yeah. Well, who do you think? Now, let's talk about the East since moving forward here. I mean, we've talked about, and I know we need to maybe talk more about the Cavs, but who do you see as their big threats?
Well,
is it only a couple teams, or?
I got all the respect in the world for Tibbs, Coach Tibbs, whatever you want to call him. And I've heard that Durant might end up in New York. I don't think that coach is going to ask him to play that. But, you know, he's so tall, if he just gets his arm up, you know.
Right.
Without them making a move, I'm not scared of them, but they can bully it around and take a six or something and somebody get hurt. But it's good for the NBA when the Knicks and
was the Knicks Celtics move already getting Cat, was that their move, or do they need an extra move?
If they're playing for a championship, they need an extra move. Sometimes you make a move, and it takes you the other way.
Right.
You know,
right.
But what they got now, their fan base, how long is this coach going to be here? Money's never an issue in New York. They're going to make a move.
Right. I do like playoff basketball at Madison Square Garden. Last year was really fun, man.
So, you know, I tell you what, but – I'm not. I know we're going to be back in the championship.
Well, sure.
I mean, and I don't talk like that usually.
Do the Cavs scare you at all?
Yeah, yeah. But they actually will have home court advantage. That is kind of different if they keep that better record and everything.
Right, right.
But
Garland is playing good. I mean, it doesn't seem like they've had any crazy injuries.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the first time in a long, long, long time on any podcast that two Vanderbilt basketball players have been mentioned in regards to their NBA career.
There you go.
We mentioned Luke Kornet before, and now we mentioned Darius Garland. And shout out to Luke Kornet. I loved him when he played in college.
He's way more athletic than he looks with them shoes and his pale skin.
He was the same way in college.
Yeah, I don't remember him, I admit, but when he came to us and when I saw him in warm-up lines, like, oh, yeah, another white dude, you know. But then that dude can get up.
Yes.
He really can. I mean.
and you're right. He really looks like kind of a stereotypical, like, Vanderbilt basketball player, you know. Yeah. But he is very athletic, and he's carved himself out a nice little spot on a really good basketball team. Yeah. So that's awesome. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
So you got the Celtics, the Cavs, the Knicks, and is there anyone else even worth talking about, or is that pretty much the
three?
Well,
there is the hottest team, perhaps, in the entire NBA.
There we go.
Now.
I knew I'd get him erupted over there.
That would be the Indiana Pacers, who have been phenomenal over pretty much the entire month of January. I mean, they really have gone on quite a tear. And we talked about it.
Winning before. Close games.
Yeah, they win tons of close games. And what has been the biggest difference and why they're starting to win, their offense, I mean, it wasn't clicking perhaps like it did last year, and that would be a little unfair to expect because they were so dynamic offensively last year. But the offense has come back to, and Halliburton has come back to where you thought he probably close to where he should be. But the entire reason they have been playing so well for last month is defensively. They went from like 24th in the league in defensive efficiency to third over the last, 17 games or something like that. And and Siakam is literally now one of my favorite players in the league.
Stat stuffer and defensive stopper.
Of course, I love Halliburton, but there's a lot of dudes that, like people that, and I get it, the Pacers aren't a major, you know, market team or whatever, but they got a lot of guys that just fit their role really well, and I love Rick Carlisle as a coach. Now, are they going to compete for NBA championship this season? I don't think so. But can they win a round or two in the playoffs and take somebody? If they continue playing like they are, I certainly don't think it'd be crazy to think that they could potentially cause somebody problems in the Eastern Conference semis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree with you. You don't have to apologize for that at all. Pacers, man, you know what I'm hearing around the water cooler and stuff? Would you all, at this point, because you know...
I already know what you're going to say, but please continue.
Would you give up Miles Turner.
I knew that was the question. I knew that was the question.
He's grown up so much.
Well, I mean, but you're in this good playoff thing and stuff. I mean, Lakers.
If this is strictly me, and I mean.
That's funny you knew it.
Yeah, oh, I totally did. I almost just cut you off.
Lakers are looking for somebody, so.
Here's the thing about, and if you are a Pacers fan or if you just, I mean, just a casual follower of, like, Pacers Twitter or anything, you know that the most contentious thing, and it's been not this season, it's been for 3 or 4 years, should we deal Miles Turner? Should the Pacers entertain trades for Miles Turner? I've always really liked him. Now, if there was a crazy, you know, a trade opportunity that I'm not thinking, but you had better be getting someone that you think puts you in a position to win a championship right now.
Rick Carlisle don't want to play the playground, man. He's in it to win it.
Yes.
In a conservative, hardworking way.
Yes, I agree. And so I love the team as it is constructed right now for where I think they want to go this season. And I would love to see at least the core of this team play it out and see how far they can go. I mean, people forget, and I know the East was weird last year with all the injuries and stuff, but they do have a ton of guys that have played in some big-time playoff games.
Yes, now, sir.
You know, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And whether that was, you know,
you don't have to apologize again. You were in the finals.
Whether that's due to, and you know, a lot of people would say, well, a lot of other teams were injured and stuff. What I'm saying is that doesn't matter when you're talking about experience.
Right. The Cavs don't have that experience.
Relative to playing in the playoffs in these big games. So that I'm glad I got to talk. I don't get to talk about the Pacers that often down
but
here.
But
they're
good.
That was fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have to.
Now, on to the West, of which, and I think at least Ike and I, and really Freddie, as a Bulls fan, Ike as a and Celtics.
Tuna's got a team in there playing tough, too.
I'm a Pacers fan. Sparky, who do you pull for?
I don't really have a team. I grew up watching the Bulls and the Pacers on WBNA Channel 21 as a kid. So
okay,
that's about where my heart lies.
I
got to
say the Pacers if I'm pulling for anybody.
And now, Tuna over here is wearing his – he was all in on the NBA tonight. He's wearing his team's cap. Tuna, why don't you tell us about your squad a little bit and where you think they're at right now?
Yeah, this is a one horse race out in the West. you know, you can bring in Lucas and you can bring in the Shea Alexanders and of the world, and it doesn't matter because this is, I don't care if we're a 4 seed or 1 seed, this team's got it. And I'm telling you, we're better when Jaw's not playing. Jaw needs to get his head right, get his game back.
Can
Take
you tell everybody
off, Jaw?
Who your team is for the casual.
They know. I announced on here, what was this, 2 years ago when I dedicated to getting in the NBA.
Yes.
I said, I'm going all in on the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's right.
It's because I have Bally Sports South, FanDuel Sports
and you
South.
And you can watch the game.
And I can watch every game. So
that means something.
Therefore, yeah, I'm a fan now.
They play fun basketball.
Yeah, it's got me
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they play hard.
I got Moran on fantasy. I know what you're saying, dog. I can't take him out of the lineup, but it's like this just ain't the year for it, dog. But
this is a group of dudes that each night out, it's a different guy.
I know.
Like, and I almost like prefer watching them. Don't get me wrong, I love watching John Morant play basketball because he can do things that other people just can't.
Yeah, he opens everything up.
But I almost
up.
Like watching the team better when Jaw's out of the lineup, just
right.
because like you see guys.
You're like,
just,
who's gonna do it tonight?
Yes, and. You know, Zach Edey, I just never thought that guy was going to – I was like, how's he going to fit into the NBA?
They're trying to get
and
keep
like,
him in
the
there.
The way that they use him is kind of incredible. Like, he just gets in there and gets
I'm
what
you,
he
dog.
Needs. And huh?
I'm
he kind of stays yeah. hidden in
it's
there.
It's almost like a half-court thing.
Yeah.
To, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they got a steal out there in the second round with the kid, the rookie out of Washington State with Jalen Wells. I mean, it's just
– he'll be in the Schick rookie game.
Yeah, well, he should be. But, I mean, this is, I don't know. It's not that I've never been a huge NBA guy, but, like, I've probably watched more NBA just with the Grizzlies this year because the Preds are so freaking terrible. So, like, they're almost unwatchable.
And it's more fun to follow a whole season instead of sitting around waiting for your team to be on TNT. Okay,
and when you follow them on the local network, you start, like, getting into the local,
like college, especially.
Right.
You get into the announcers, like, because you're there with them
and
three nights a week.
And you watch the little features,
you know what I mean?
The little features they do on the player.
Yeah, like, you start getting into it.
They don't show commercials, and they'll just show the dancers and people it has during the commercials and stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of awesome. I like watching the T-shirt cannons. Yeah. Like, who's it going to hit?
I don't know if you all put two and two together, but I notice a trend across the room. He's a Memphis Grizzlies fan. He's a Nashville Predators fan. Kansas City's probably at their peak. So usually, you know, what do? You plateau and then go downhill, right?
Yeah.
You ought to switch on over to the Titans, brother, and you just have the whole state of Tennessee.
Oh, there you go. Jump on a bandwagon.
I can't do that. And this is the reason why, Jody. I'm going to explain this. The Houston Oilers had one of the greatest uniforms to ever grace any sport ever.
You'll get no argument from me there.
I got the Hopkins jersey when they brought it back last year.
The fact that the Tennessee Titans.
Titans.
Felt like they have the right to wear that uniform. No. Nuh-uh. You cannot. Houston Texans, you can wear it. Titans, you were never. Never.
Remember?
And really, the Texans need to go and change their name to the Oilers and get that uniform back.
Remember that, and Sparky, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that the first season, at least, when the Titans moved from Houston to Nashville.
Yes, though they played in Memphis the first year.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, didn't they play in Memphis, and weren't they called the Memphis Oilers?
Yeah, were the Tennessee Oilers.
In the year two and three, they played in Vanderbilt Stadium, actually. They didn't play in their current stadium until year four.
Okay, and they were actually the Oilers until
And you got to say it. You got to say it like the locals, Titans.
Titans. Tennessee Titans.
You're
talking about the West. I feel like we've got to.
Well,
yeah,
Memphis is definitely
so
up
now,
in there.
Now we are up to what is not only the overriding story in the NBA, but really, like, put the NBA on a level during Super Bowl time that they usually don't get. And then we're talking about the blockbuster trade between the Lakers and the Mavs that I don't think anybody saw coming. And
the NBA just had to jump in on Super Bowl week. Man, like, they made their trade deadline in the day before the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, it's like, all right, guys. Pay attention to us.
Hey, dog, y'all came after our Christmas Day, so
fair play.
Yeah, that
we
is
We didn't
true.
Come after it. We won Christmas Day.
I think Palinka said he was in Dallas having coffee, and that's what started it all. But
and everyone that I know that I've talked to about it and people that I follow on Twitter, it was so wild seeing the exact same reaction from everybody. And I like at the exact same time, I saw news of the trade break. I was scrolling through Twitter and somebody put it and I immediately thought, oh, that's a satire or Shams has been hacked, because I think the person who posted it said, this is his real account.
This is real.
I think he's been hacked. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's been. So I started looking, and then more and more people were going, has Shams been hacked? Has Shams been hacked? What's going on with this? And then it was like 3 minutes later, Shams himself goes, I was not hacked. This is real. And right after that, ESPN reports it, and then I'm going, this really happened. Like, and it just came to me so far out of left field, and I think to everybody, Ike, what was your immediate reaction to it, and then how do you think going forward it affects both teams?
I had to go through what you're talking about, but I wasn't up late, so I didn't get it till the morning. So it was legit as soon as I saw it. And when I actually went into the things that are actually coming out because I get into the small details and stuff. I didn't know about that he was going to leave $100 million on the table, but not getting the Supermax. But after Mark Cuban sold 75%, these new people bought it. You know, he's a one-sided player. He doesn't play defense. He's really out of shape. So I could see how Dallas could do this. He doesn't have a trade clause. But y'all probably know the whole other deal that goes along with this, don't you?
The Supermax?
No. The new owners that bought it from, starts with an A, I can't think of it. They're saying that they don't even care if the Mavs are that good.
Oh.
Legalized gambling is just now opening in Texas.
They passed it.
Yes, in Texas.
Congrats.
Now, think about this. I didn't know any of this. I got this from other people. I'm not acting like I. They're building the Mavs new arena right beside where they're going to have their big dog thing in Dallas stuff, because they're still, you know, it's brand new. Right. So they're going to control it.
That's how you know you're into it.
Yeah.
When you got the mic out with your hand and you're talking like that's
good. No, but y'all can't see, but Ike's handsy over here. He's moving around a lot.
He needs a stationary like I got.
So this has I didn't realize this at the time. This has a lot to do with these people wanting to be getting that gambling going in the new arena. And they're saying that Mark Cuban's going to come back, save the day, and care about basketball again. And
why did he sell part of it?
He had kind of a Harvey Weinstein kind of thing happen in his office, and it was during Me Too. I don't know what the details were. Idea.
So he was kind of forced into it.
Yeah.
Well, they've kind of been after him for a while, haven't they?
Yeah. So when I say Harvey Weinstein, I don't know what the details. It could have just been some J.R. Ewing, hey, how you doing, honey? You know, so whatever. But during these days you know, you don't play around with that no more, you know. So him going to LA, but here's the thing, fellas. Think about it. What's LA all about? Hollywood. And what's Hollywood? Drama. It's always drama in LA, dog. So you bring Luke out there. If he's ever going to get in shape, it's going to be with that obsessed crazy 41-year-old man right beside him. Or he'll blow him off.
See, if I was the Mavs, I would have been like, the only way that I'm going to sign off on this trade is if you throw Bronny in.
I don't.
Just because I think it would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
God, that's awesome.
Dude, they could have got a whole lot more for him, but they just wanted this trade to go down.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure. Yeah.
They're saying Anthony Davis gave up money and stuff, but you could get it back with your taxes and everything in Texas and stuff.
Yeah.
So. They say 75% of the NBA has a place at least in L.A. Anthony Davis is an L.A. guy, so I'm sure this has hurt his feelings, but his team probably is going to be better.
His press conference, I mean, he was looked just absolutely depressed.
But he can go back to playing the small forward now.
Right.
He had to be the five in L.A., and we can say you should be there. Well, that ain't where he wants to play. So hopefully they're going to have a good team.
Is this because they had like a – they were going to have to give him a Supermax deal, and they didn't want to make that kind of commitment to a guy like whose basketball was like his third priority?
Who are you talking about?
Luka.
Oh, yeah.
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 They just didn't.
They thought, he's not listening to us at $250 million. Why is he going to listen to us at $350 million?
Yeah.
And it's new owners where Cuban's a basketball guy, and he's passionate. These guys are business people trying to get a casino opened up, dog.
That's understandable.
And I didn't know about any of that until I heard some of the talking heads talking about it. So
as far as L.A. goes, a lot of people are saying they can't work because they both need the ball. And then I'm hearing also that actually LeBron, throughout his years, hasn't always had the ball in his hand.
Think about it, though.
Do you think they can do it? Do you think they can work together?
I can see that argument. But look at us, dude. Brown and Tatum, they're not like buddy-buddy. A lot of times, one dude's got the ball, and he does his thing.
Right.
Look at Kyrie. You know, Kyrie's got to have the ball.
I think that's the difference with the NBA. Like, these guys don't go stay in the same dorm room with each other
when they
get done practice. They go home. They're just showing up to work.
Yeah.
Like, how many people do you work with that you actually like?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's right. Like, these guys show up, they go to work, and they go home. It ain't got to be a kumbaya situation.
And a lot of the role players get a lot of that transition baskets and stuff. So, you know, Yeah, I hope Luca, for the sake of him and make it fun, that he'll get in shape and everything. And
well, he's definitely going to get the crowd fired up because he's a fiery player. So
hell, out in L.A., they get everybody in shape out there, don't they? He'll be on one of them magic pills and them body colon flushes and all that stuff. He'll be 215 by playoff time.
There's a video of, I guess they had won to go to the championship, and he's drinking a beer.
Yeah, they took it out of his hands.
He don't argue or nothing either. But I think when he gets home, I'm not saying he's like Williamson, but I don't think he's counting calories and doing push-ups either. You know?
Well, I'm not either.
I think he's just enjoying life. And he's drinking. Ain't nobody taking his beer away from him at his house, dog.
I think that's awesome that you can play as well as he does and then not train like all these crazy
people. But it's not awesome because he got exposed in the finals, though, see? I love him. I like watching play.
I'm just saying, like, you got two of the best players in the league with Luka and Joker, and they look like dudes that work with me out at Ford.
Well,
know what I mean? Like, and well, they're out there just balling.
Well, I will say this. Luka looks like a marathon runner compared to Joker. That guy gained like 40 pounds in the offseason.
Yeah.
But nobody can stop him.
I know. That's what I find impressive. Like,
I mean, yeah, he just had, what, 22 assists?
He unlike Americans who do the power dribble and go down, and dude, those Europeans keep the ball high the whole time, dude. And that helps so much.
Yeah.
Luka has always reminded me, and I know I'm not the only or first person to say this, but when I was younger, like in my early 20s, I used to go to the YMCA in Bloomington, play basketball every Tuesday on my lunch hour. And there was this guy there who was built just, I mean, not as big, but was built just like Luka. And I was pre-athletic back then, and I thought I was a decent basketball player. And this dude could score in ways that you didn't think were, and he wasn't fast, he didn't look fast, but he was so savvy when he got the ball, and and part of it, now that I'm thinking about it, was that he always kept the ball up.
Right.
And like,
when you put it down, the little man can get to it.
And Luka is such a unique player from that standpoint. I mean, I don't know, and I was actually thinking about this the other day. I'm not sure if I could fully appreciate if he played like for the Pacers, for instance. Would it annoy me that he looked fat and slow, but he still, and he didn't guard anybody? I think the not guarding anybody is what bothers me
the
most.
And I think once you get into the conference finals and finals, you're more analyzing stuff.
Right.
If they were just like a, you know, 50 win team, oh, we get the second round, I don't think he might be saying anything.
Yeah.
But
agree.
The farther you go, the more you get broke down.
That's true. That is exactly
Well, the
true.
Further you go, they play harder defense, too.
So
they play a lot more defense.
So to mention more teams in the West, because we just really mentioned Memphis, we know the Thunder is dominating out there
without Chet Holmgren.
Without Holmgren. So now Dallas becomes a force.
Big time.
And then the Lakers, even, they're playing a lot better now. Are they going to – obviously, we're talking about it right now. One of Travis's players for the that could go, Miles Turner, the Lakers are obviously looking for someone big. So who else do you like in the West? I don't think we've all hit on everybody.
San Antonio with the new acquisition of De'Aaron Fox.
Right, De'Aaron Fox with Wemby. And Paul on the bench helping him out, and then you got Houston,
I watch a
lot. Young team.
I watch a lot
hot.
Of San Antonio just for Wemby, but man, I mean, I hate to say freak of nature, it's almost unfair.
Yeah, it's strange to watch. Almost, he's so freaking tall.
I don't think people talk about his basketball IQ as much.
That's a great point, man.
His basketball IQ is some of the best I've ever seen, honestly.
Yeah.
And he has some of the best, I call them reels, they're on TikTok, little 15, 20 second things that happen at both ends that he does and stuff. It's like, wow. I did see your Grizzlies hammer Doc Rivers in Milwaukee on Sunday night. Tuna, did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I did.
National TV.
Yeah, that was the ESPN game on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Yeah.
And I loved every second of
I
that.
I did too.
That put the Pacers in fourth place in the East.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, who do you see coming out of the West?
I want OKC to do it. I want OKC to do it. Right. I love Tuna Squad.
There's no real playoff experience there.
Can Jokic get the Nuggets through there? Think they're
that's what Travis talks about. You know, that experience that Indiana's got, who's going to count them out when it comes to playoff time?
Right.
I mean, you know, but I think Dallas has got something going on, man. I mean, without Luka and stuff, I think they're going to rally together. And I don't know if they'll make the championship, but I look for them
And you don't think the second place young Rockets have a shot?
Well, God, man, the way they play us, man, Udoka stuck it to us at home about 2 weeks ago, man.
They're a fun team to watch. Amen, Thompson.
They are probably my, like, I like to watch individual players a lot, like in the West. But as far as a team that if I see that they're on, I will watch some of their games. It's been Houston this year. I love the way they play.
Yeah. Yes, they got, and he's a great coach, man. And they let them young guys, you know, mature together and stuff and everything. I'm a big fan.
You just said it though. I think you get to the playoffs, and I don't know that gels if they without the experience.
I think Udoka's a hell of a coach,
yeah,
dude.
Experience, you're right, Jody. Experience says it all, really, when it comes to that. You got to earn your way. It's, you know what I'm saying? Stuff don't happen like that. It's kind of just like in the
and you're on the radar.
You're on the radar, but you're.
Udoka is a great coach, man. I know he got that bad rap, whatever happened, but I tell you what, man, that guy can coach basketball, and all the stuff that happened and everything. Shoot, man, it just made him more focused.
Right.
So you think the Lakers have any shot of making anything happen?
Yeah. I mean, if they make the second round, that'll be.
They got to get somebody, right? They're going to go after another big man.
And we keep talking about Miles Turner, but it's going to end up being somebody we're not even thinking about.
Right.
I mean, you know, teams like, I don't know, Detroit or somebody got somebody sitting around Washington, you know.
Yeah.
Lakers are going to make a.
6 months of my life.
The Lakers are going to make a move.
When I was a Wizards fan.
Oh, yeah.
That lasted about 6 months.
Yeah. I'm glad you moved on. Yeah,
what about Junkyard Jimmy? What's his deal before we get off of this? Because that is driving me nuts. With him, because he, and you know, we've talked about it many times, me being a Bulls fan, and how he's just so frustrating.
I go, the
like, he's like, oh, Golden State, nah, don't want to go there. Screw y'all. Like,
the sympathetic guy in me always has to point out that the guy was kicked out of his house, his mom didn't want him, he lived in cars. You know, he's overcome so many things to get where he's at. So I always have a heart for that. But I think he still can help somebody. Is he a one or two option anymore? Not on a championship contending team.
Third maybe.
But if, like, Phoenix ain't gonna do anything big, but
why,
like,
does he want to go there so bad?
It's almost because they don't. I don't know this, but I mean, Phoenix
really likes Lake Havasu.
But he does seem like he's got locked into Phoenix.
And if he's still got a couple more toughness in him, that would be good for Phoenix. Because we know historically Phoenix has always been an offensive team.
Right.
You know, and it always bites them in their butt in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I mean, me and you, Freddie, when we'll text about it and everything, I usually take the devil's advocate because I got a – but. I agree with what you're saying most times. You just get so worked up I do agree with you.
I feel like he's on the personal side, he's like the Ricky Williams of NBA right now.
Yeah.
How he was in the NFL.
He's like one of them guys.
Well, that's another guy I had heart for, though.
Exactly. Like, you know, with all the behind-the-scenes personal. Yeah.
Like, he's always been like this. You're never going to change him. I mean, he's going to try to win no matter what.
But Pat Riley, I'm not saying he should change or whatever, but
He is in the old school, still, to another level.
I mean, how old is Pat Riley?
Almost
is
like
he's
bringing Spoelstra down
he's
with him.
He's close to it, I'm sure.
So
it's almost time for him to jump ship.
I did see an interesting note today that The NFL has reached a legal agreement with Pat Riley licensing the term three-peat.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Which,
as we know, Pat Riley, for those that don't know, Pat Riley, back in the 80s, patented the term three-peat. That wasn't something that anyone had ever thought would be said enough that someone might want it on a t-shirt or something. So he had the foresight to go ahead and do that.
By God.
And
the
NFL has now made an agreement with him. So I'm sure that part of him is hoping like hell that the Chiefs win.
Something like $80 million or something like that. It was an absurd number.
Is that right?
That's what he stands to make.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of 80, March 20th, he will be 80 years old. Oh,
yeah. So I figured. With all that you guys just talked about, Pat Riley, I think we take the brains of us five lumberjacks down here and come up with something catchy for four. Because it's probably going to happen next year. So we gotta start rolling into something like that.
Repeat squared.
There you go.
I don't know if I'd wear that on a t-shirt. I don't know. We'll have to come up with something.
Interesting.
Get creative.
Quickly, Ike, you have any final thoughts as it pertains to the NBA? We will definitely have you back on as the season progresses, and then certainly for a playoff preview. But any final thoughts you might have on the NBA?
No, I'm always good with taking a back seat this time of year. It's just for us freaks and everything. I understand.
Any all-star snubs?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I heard people argue Devin Booker. But I mean,
you and I feel the same about him, Dev.
Yeah, I think it was one of our threads. Yeah, but
not enough defense there.
I'm really looking forward. I'm not a fan of the All-Star game the way they do it, but it's a celebration of the game. If that's how they want to do it, then that's okay. But
I got tuna in the dunk contest.
Doing what?
Aren't you going to try
Dunkin' Donuts? Is that what you're talking
about? Well, God damn.
Yeah, dunk some donuts there, buddy.
Who invited you down here? I mean, you going to get sick again.
I mean, hey, he's got to dunk them in the high noon, too. Dunkin' Donuts.
None of us have much of a vertical anymore, but I'm pretty sure tuna's on the bottom of that list.
Wait a minute. I mean, because, first of all, that was a great line. But second of all, that came the fact that it came out of left field that way, and tuna. Like, I happened to be looking right at tuna's face when he said it, and the look on his face. I wish we had this on a video because
don't forget the other two guys over here have dunk.
I just want to let y'all know there ain't one slim person down here. Maybe to my right over here, but it might be time to up in them shirts a bit. I mean, you're getting close to Freddy over here.
Yeah, easy. Hey, you talking about my dicky dude?
Yeah.
I just wear a big jacket.
Oh man, that was hilarious. Do want to thank Ike again. It's always enjoyable when you come down here. We will come back to you quickly for some final thoughts. Before we move on to our picks and maybe our, if you have a off the wall prop you want to talk about or anything else that we didn't get to, do want to remind everybody that if you enjoy the show and you know someone who is a sports fan, you think they might, please let them know and let them know they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. Before I'm going to call last call and I'm going to say something. Wait, what?
Baseball?
No.
Golf.
I just thought for a quick second.
It's the waste management. I have no idea who's playing in it. I don't.
Everybody.
I haven't looked at it. I'm going to take Scottie Scheffler.
Did you put money on the Pebble Beach champion?
Yeah. I thought you would do a tour of.
No, because
this is the first time you bet on him all last year, and then he finally wins.
Only majors.
Only majors. Okay.
Only majors. I was happy that he won. I think it is a good kind of prognostication maybe for him. But until he wins another major, you know, I'm going to keep betting on him, and I'm probably going to keep losing. But it was good. You know, I would watch video of the five of us if it was at Pebble Beach. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, sir.
I love watching it. I thought CBS, since you did mention it, I thought CBS, their like drone coverage and stuff is made for
Pebble Beach.
Yeah. High def, big screen TVs, and Pebble Beach, it always shows well on TV. And, you know, it was ended up being a pretty dominant Sunday performance by Rory. Is he playing in the waste management?
Yeah, I believe also? So.
Well, first of all, he's playing tonight in the TGL, so he's going to do back-to-back wins in 2 days.
Oh.
Hey, all right.
He's hot.
And I watched that last week, and I found it pretty entertaining. I think they're still working out some kinks, but no, we love the waste management. It's always awesome. It's fun to watch the madness at the stadium par three. I think Scottie Scheffler is back now, fully healed from his pasta-making injury.
Pasta-making injury.
If that's what you want to call it.
Yes.
I think he said he, like, cut himself making pasta, which I totally understand. My question was, how far through his second bottle of wine was he when he cut himself trying to make pasta? You guys have any, like, I always go with Scheffler, Rory, somebody like that, especially in the one of these first big tournaments. You guys have a pick for the waste management?
Yeah, I'm always going to go Max Homa. It's yep. a tournament built for him.
Yes. So, Freddie, who
he
you
took
like?
The words right out of my mouth. I was going Max Homa.
Sparky.
I was.
Tom Kim.
He finished, what, third or second or third?
Yeah, he was
third.
Right up
Lowry
there.
Lowry was second. So
I believe he missed a putt on 18 mm-hmm. that would have kept him in a tie for second place. I'm glad you brought that up, Fred, because it is always the fun lead-in to the Super Bowl is the
I thought you were swinging a baseball bat.
Is the waste management.
Well, that's sometimes my swing.
Is it really called the waste management?
Yes,
yeah.
Waste Management Open.
It's probably
I thought
most
y'all was just riding on it because it was trash.
On the par three, you got to see the par three.
They throw beers on everybody.
It's insane.
If you've never seen it, it's must see.
It's the craziest
television.
Golf tournament you'll see.
They build a stadium around that par three, literally. And the golfers come in and put jerseys on.
I'll be in what we call the beer garden at work, and I'll have it on there.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Awesome. Before, I am going to call now, last call, and I want to say one quick thing, because I really don't have a rooting interest in the Super Bowl this weekend. I've got friends and family that are attached to both clubs, so I really don't have a rooting interest except for the fact that I was notified earlier this week that Cam Jones and Peyton Hendershot, both proud Indiana University football alumni, are on the roster of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And it's always good when you can put in the back, like, Super Bowl champs from in the media guide. It's always nice to add a couple new names to that list. So for that reason, I have a slight rooting interest in the Chiefs. But I'm going to give my prediction at the very end. But I'm going to go to Tuna for whatever he has to say, his prediction, any other bets, anything else you wanted to get out there before we get out of here.
No, just for all you rugby heads out there, rugby is going on right now. The Six Nations League is going on. You can watch all those streaming on Peacock right now.
And it's a lot of fun.
Have you been watching any of it? Yeah.
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 It's a lot of fun.
I mean, this is probably one of the most intense little matches that they have going on. But the Six Nations, it's Ireland, Wales, England, France, Italy, and Ireland. Or who am I missing? Scotland. Scotland's the last one. But Ireland looks They're the title holder right now. They're incredible. But yeah, just that's all on Peacock. It's been fun to watch. Power Slap, that was last Thursday.
Oh man.
Dumpling came out and absolutely dominated the Crazy Hawaiian. And
I saw the highlights.
Yes.
Big Dumpling,
so,
baby.
But it was a great card from front to finish.
You got
really.
A t-shirt on him yet?
Dumpling? Yeah. I don't think he has merch yet.
Really?
No.
All right.
I mean, as soon as it comes out, I may look at getting something, but yeah, no, nothing as of yet that I know of. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe somebody's got something. So, that is basically it. There is, On3 did put out a list today of what they consider the top 25 college coaches. I'm not going to go through them because it's absolute bullshit. I just want to let you know that Bill Belichick is number 21 on the list. He's not even coached a college.
Okay.
Awesome. And Brett Venables made the top 25
Vegetables,
as well. Who is probably
on the hot
fired.
Seat.
Yes. So I don't know how they pick the top 25 greatest coaches, but this is the company that bought Kentucky Sports Radio's website, so I don't have much faith in what they do.
And do you want me to save your Super Bowl prediction till the very end? Or you
no, everybody knows the
now.
Chiefs are going to win by 36.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
3-2-6 points.
Wow.
Are you booking that?
No. 3-2-6 points.
3-2-6 points.
Yes.
I like it.
Freddie.
Well, to start off your
if
Super
I can pull
Bowl.
Myself away from Dunkin' Donuts long enough to watch the game.
I got something better than Dunkin' Donuts for your Super Bowl.
Tuna helper.
If anyone hasn't had it, it's called Bill's Famous Cheese Spreads. Who doesn't want some smoked Gouda and some spicy cheddar?
That's right.
To dabble into as you're watching the Super Bowl. So everybody jump out and grab some. I heard stores are all filled up. Also, want to let everyone know that next week we will get into some of the Derby preps that's already happened and go over who the winners are. And who some of the favorites are. There's already a $1 million horse who's won 2 Derby preps already, and we haven't even gotten half into it yet. Also wanted to wish the 7 Alabama Alabama players in the Super Bowl that have a chance for a ring. Beat Vandy by 5 there. With that said, I also want to welcome Alabama's new offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb from the Seattle. Seattle came there, offensive coordinator. They all got let go, so he's gone out of there. Should have been at Bama last year, but his wife thought he was going to get the Washington head coaching job. He didn't get it. So anyways, he has been snagged. He is our OC, and I'm looking forward to that next year. That's it for me.
200 days till college football.
I need your Super Bowl prediction.
Super Bowl prediction is Chiefs by 11.
Oh, I like that. But one more thing to go across.
Please.
We were just talking about college football. Week 0, I guess it was just announced today that the Ireland game, which you know it's been opening with a game in Ireland every week, we're sending Farmageddon over there. Iowa State versus Kansas State to open the season.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Farmageddon.
And it can't come quickly enough.
Nope.
To be quite frankly. Quite frank with you. Ike, any last thoughts?
Couple things. My Super Bowl pick, I always felt sorry for Jalen Hurts when Tua came in there and got that championship.
Right.
And I know his dad was – correct me if I'm wrong, he was his coach and stuff. And
yeah,
so he got a championship, but he really didn't win it, and then he went to Oklahoma the next year, right?
Yeah.
So when he got close once. So I'm pulling for Philly, and because of the stuff Tuna said that honestly I didn't know everything about. I just wanted, I'm gonna take Philly by 4.
All right.
And one quick thing had y'all talked about the Billy Bob Show Landman on Paramount?
I haven't watched it yet, so no spoilers.
I'm not going to give you a spoiler. Okay. I just want to say this. It's Billy Bob, first of all. Mm. It's Texas. Here's the thing. Dallas was on from 1977 to 1991. I've watched, you can watch them for free and everything. I've watched the later ones.
Rewatched all of them.
When JR got with the short blonde haired girl at the end, you know? Oh, yeah. And then they waited so long to bring the reboot out. I mean, if they had just done it,
I didn't watch the reboot.
Reboot was still pretty good.
Okay.
They did the same thing with Frasier, too. They waited too long, but it's funny, too. Also on Paramount. Anyway, it's a great series. The first series, 10 episodes, series, first series season is over. I'm just so glad we have another series that's about the oil business, because there's a lot to be said. I've been very educated on a lot of things on this, and there's a lot of good drama, good old Texas stuff, you know. So I'll leave it at that. No spoiler alerts, but it's well worth it on Paramount. Landman.
Awesome. Sparky, last call.
Everybody's been sick out there. We've had a couple stints. I've had a little outpatient procedure. Freddie's had the flu. I got a couple more friends that have the flu. Somebody, either three-year-old niece, had a seizure today. We had a friend of ours, his dad just passed away. There's a lot of sickness going on. My sister's in bad health. Just a shout-out and a prayer to all you all to get better, feel better. Now, as far as UK, I got to say this. We're down 15 right now. We were down 29. We're making a little comeback. But I'm asking ESPN right now, no more Jimmy Dykes and Carl Ravage. If we lose tonight, we have not won a game when they've been called at all this year.
My God.
So I like both those guys.
That's a great point.
But don't do any more UK basketball.
Jimmy Dykes coached under Eddie Sutton.
Yeah.
And I will say this, KC,
12.
KC by 10.
There you go.
Awesome. Quickly, I wanted to give a shout-out to my basketball team, Collegiate Titans. I know a few of you have listened from time to time, and if you do, and I know we talked about it last Thursday, we had a really, really, really neat win, and those guys will know what I am talking about, and best of luck to those kids that will be playing in the Anchorage tournament coming up starting tomorrow afternoon. Secondarily, Colin, he thinks the game is going to overtime tomorrow night. So he loves the plus 1200 bet that it'll go to overtime. And then he loves the plus 1800 bet that the Chiefs will win in overtime tomorrow night.
So not tomorrow night.
Or, you know what I mean. I
thought you were talking about the collegiate game.
No, Sunday, on Sunday. And he actually predicts the score to be 34-30 Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, that's another bet to look at, is for the Chiefs to be the last team to score.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just feel like...
How many times were they the last team to score during this season?
I don't know.
It was a lot, 15
of the 18?
I mean, I don't know.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
I am also picking Kansas City to win the game. I just hope it's a great game. I have Kansas City 31, Philadelphia 28 in a game that comes down to the last drive. And we could only be so lucky as football fans if something like that were to occur.
You know, everybody says that every time the Super Bowl comes up, everybody's like, I just hope it's a good game. I hope it's a good game. And then every one that the Chiefs have been in has been an incredible game.
Yeah.
And then they're still bitching about it.
Well, and we talked about that. I mean, it's just winner's fatigue.
Yeah.
And, I mean.
Hey, Lil Jay, deal with it.
I love it. I love it. We will let that be the last word this evening. Want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Definitely want to thank Ike for coming and talking all things NBA. For the Poet Laureate, Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the Big Fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.